Wonderful this time of year we get to gather and see new friends and old. It's wonderful. Let's have a blessing on this. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. And we realize that there's just so much that we don't understand that you're doing behind the scenes that just moves things forward in our lives. And we thank you for that. And we pray that you'll help us to be servants this year too. Follow closely after you in every part. Help us to be good stewards of all that you've given us. We realize that everything we have comes from you, and it all really belongs to you. And I pray that you'll help us to be good stewards this year. May your blessing be upon this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to read you a word from the book of Jude to encourage us to pray. You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. We have wonderful words. Stand, please.
My life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and
focus on the beautiful, the wondrous, the powerful name of Jesus.
Sin was greater, could separate us now. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. Heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory. For you are raised to life again. You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a powerful name it is. Nothing can stand against. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Amen. Please be seated. We're going to do a little switching over here. We're going to be hearing from our bishop, Bishop Robert Patterson. He's the bishop of the Allegheny Conference of the Brethren in Christ Church. I think it's his 18th year with us this year. It's a good long time. And I always appreciate him very much. He didn't start out in ministry. He started out as a Navy pilot, landing on the decks of aircraft carriers. He's quite an interesting character if you get a chance to spend time with him. But he always has such a deep heart for God and what God is doing in the church and what he believes God is going to do in the church. We're beginning this week of prayer and fasting, as we've said, and so this morning Rob's going to kind of set the stage for us as we get started. We okay up there? All right, we're all set.
Welcome to another year, and 2020 upon us. Can you imagine that? I remember a time in my life when that would have been pretty much unthinkable. So far into the future, I couldn't even envision how far away 2020 might be. I remember sitting with some friends and relatives calculating how far away it was going to be to 2000 and how old we were going to be when 2000 got here. And the last 20 years have sped by in my life, and it's hard for me sometimes to even take stock of the fact that I've been in my role as bishop since 2002, and that means this is going to be my 18th year anniversary. That means that folks that were born, those of you that were born sometime around 2002 or slightly thereafter, have now reached a place where you're contemplating high school graduation, moving on to college, and to me, from my standpoint, it's just been whoosh, a whirlwind. But here we are. And as usual, as has been our custom for a long time, we're opening the year in the Brethren in Christ denomination with a week of prayer and fasting. And we're inviting everyone to set some time aside, some special time, to meet with the Lord, to let go of some things, to try and just enter in by faith to His presence in a unique and profound way, but a humble way that acknowledges, God, You're the source. You're the source of life itself. And apart from You, we can't do anything. And we want to set ourselves in a position of faith to hear what You have to say. And so this week of prayer and fasting is not only a week to speak and not only a week to let go of some things and exercise a spiritual discipline, but this is also a time to listen. Listen carefully. Lord, what do You want to say? What do You have for us? Not only today, tomorrow, but throughout the entire year. As we think about, you know, God and what He might have for us, I want to just start with a couple of verses of Scripture. And so listen as I read these. In Genesis 3:7, it says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked." And then in Luke 24:31, it says, "Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him." If you're familiar with the context of the passage in Genesis, you know that what happened was they had succumbed to temptation. And when they ate that fruit that God told them to not eat, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked. Something changed instantaneously. There was an awareness. But not only an awareness, there was also something that went dark and became hidden. Then in the passage I read from Luke, when their eyes were opened, Jesus opened their eyes. And the Scripture makes that clear. They had been walking with Him, talking with Him, going over the events that had recently occurred, including His death. And they were eating with Him, breaking bread, and Jesus opened their eyes. And we're always looking for that God would come to us and open our eyes and show us things. He's promised to do that. There are verses throughout the Bible that speak particularly about blindness and about sight and how it is that unless you're born again, you can't see. The lights haven't come on. So what I want to do is take off on that a little bit. And trust me when I tell you at the outset that I could talk on this topic far longer then you have the patience to listen. And if I reduce this message this morning to just a single sentence, it would be this. This year, 2020, is an excellent time to pray for clear vision. When we pray that prayer, we're going to be praying in agreement with the Apostle Paul because that was one of his prayers. And let's read it, Ephesians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15. The Bible says, "For this reason, I, too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists among you and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might, which He brought about in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." Sight, all by itself, the capacity to see and perceive our surroundings, is a gift. It's a gift. Notice that it said in verse 17 and 18 that this is something He prays we would be given, that the Father would give us a spirit, give us enlightenment, give us a gift from heaven itself. And that gift is light. We may possess fully functional eyes in terms of just their physical ability, but you know they're utterly useless without light. Our sight is dependent on having light. If you just think about even closing your eyes or being in darkness, total darkness, when things are pitch black and there's no light, you can't see. There might be things behind your eyelids that you might imagine or come up with once in a while, but you're not going to be seeing clearly. You wouldn't want to follow that as a direction if you're simply looking at what's imaginary or what you think behind your eyes. You want to actually see. And so being that we need light and our eyes are useless without light, that they need to be open and illuminated, and that light is a gift from outside us, eyesight is a gift. And it's true of both our physical eyes as well as our spiritual eyes. The Bible basically equates having sight with having light. There's a close connection and association throughout the Bible that talks to us about being in the light, walking in the light, having the light, and also seeing and knowing, perceiving and understanding. And the two seem to go hand in hand. There's a direct correlation, and the flip side is also true, that those who don't perceive, those who can't see, those who don't have a spiritual awareness are said to be in the dark. They walk in darkness. We just came through a season when Isaiah promised us that those walking in darkness have seen a light. The light's come. John opens that way. The light's come. He is the light. The source of light, God, gives us light and helps us to see and allows us to see. In fact, James says that every good and perfect gift comes from him, speaking of God, who he refers to as the Father of lights. And a frequent prayer of mine, as I pray regularly, is to ask God to turn on the lights. There are pretty much any situation where I feel the urge, the nudge to intervene in prayer and intercede on behalf of someone. Frequently, it's a kind of what I, in my judgment, would say is blindness and a spiritual blindness. And folks are caught up in things and making poor decisions, poor choices, because they don't see. They don't have a vision of the bigger picture. And so I pray, and it tends to be my phrase, God, you know so-and-so, you know the situation, please turn on the lights. Please open their eyes, let them see, give them vision of you first and foremost, of your salvation. Give them a glimpse of glory, a glimpse of Jesus. In this prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians, he says that the Father of glory may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. The gift of light comes with a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that unveiling. To see God revealed in the light of his glory is to fear him in awestruck wonder. Any of the Bible characters who caught a glimpse of God's splendor would say that. When his glory shines bright, you immediately become aware of your own pitiful condition. You can ask and check in with Moses, Isaiah, Peter, Paul, Mary. Okay, for you old timers, I just threw Peter, Paul, and Mary in there. I'm not sure Mary fits exactly, but I could make the case. Anyway, wisdom itself is essentially a matter of walking in the light of God. It's a condition that we find ourselves in where we can actually see reality. We're not dealing with shadows. We're not dealing with misperceptions, blindness, distractions. When the lights are on, we get a chance to see what's really there. And revelation is the uncovering of what was previously unseen and unknown. So the spirit of wisdom and revelation is this gift that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul puts it, the Father of glory, shines his light into our hearts so that we can see and know. And it talks about knowing him in particular. The spirit of wisdom and revelation provides knowledge and understanding, especially in relation to God. So, moving on from that, the spirit of wisdom and revelation shows us things that the natural person cannot see. And according to Paul, there are these three things that we get to know. When the lights come on, our understanding is opened, we get a chance to, to know God. Well, what do we know about God? We get to know the hope of his calling. The spirit of wisdom and revelation shows us things that the natural person can't see. We get to know God, and that's one of Paul's prayers as well, is that we would continually know him better. And so we pray that God will open our understanding to know him. And when we know him, we get a chance to know the hope of his calling. And that's a biggie. I think as we pray for light and clarity and focus going into this year of 2020, wow, God, turn on the lights that people will understand why we're here, that he created us. You created us, God. Help us to understand that we're here on purpose and we have a purpose and we don't need to despair, that in hope, there's a reason to live. There's a reason to be. There's a calling that we've received. And this hope of a calling can really change our lives for the better in so many ways. And just give us that fullness that Jesus came and died for. We get to know. As we get the spirit of revelation, wisdom, knowledge, we get to know the hope. The hope that even though we endure the same things as the rest of humanity, the things that are common to mankind, like grief, the Apostle Paul says, we grieve, but we don't grieve like those without hope. When we face all kinds of difficult challenges and situations and things that want to be discouraging to us and drag us down, we have hope. And that's what the light of God's glory does for us when he reveals himself and reveals the truth. There's a hope that springs up within us because we're his. And we're like Jesus himself, our master, that John 13 records that Jesus, knowing where he had come from and come from the Father and was now returning to the Father, he took off his outer garment, put an apron on, and began to serve his disciples. And I think that's the way it is with us. When the light comes on, we have this holy, reverent, awestruck fear of God that also inspires within us a hope for the future, a hope that the great reconciler of all things is in the process of working things together for our good, working things out. And that makes a huge difference. The apostle goes on and says that we get to know the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. There's a lot of debate in history about what those riches are, and there's a tendency for us to gravitate toward the natural again when we're talking here about the supernatural. We're talking about things that are priceless, that you can't put a tag on. We're talking about the riches of his inheritance in the saints, things like peace that the world can't give. They search, they struggle. So many of these things that we desire are like jello for us. We tried to hold them tightly, and the more tightly we squeeze them, the less of them we have. And so the more we want peace, the more we want joy, the more we struggle to try and attain and secure those things, it seems the less we have, when really it's an open-handed faith walk that says, this is who I am in Christ. And I get to know that when God turns the lights on, when he reveals himself and reveals through his word what our real position is, what our future is. A long time ago, there was a t-shirt around for a while that said, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. There are things that God has secured for us through Christ that we can possess right now that are ours in him that we simply need to pray and ask and say, show me, God. Provide this for me. I'm looking for this. And probably there's nothing greater than to know that we have life itself, that life is greater than death. That we have not only peace and joy, but we have this grace of salvation, of forgiveness, that then we can share with others. And then finally, Paul mentions one more thing. He said that we get to know the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. A surpassing greatness of his power. This is the fact that those who believe, those who walk by faith, have an opportunity to literally participate in the supremacy of God demonstrated in Christ. I just mentioned a second ago, life over death, light over darkness. The supremacy of God, not only in the visible universe, but in the invisible universe. We participate in that. That's a gift to us, and we only know what's available when God gives us that spirit of revelation, the spirit of wisdom, when he turns on the lights, and we can see, and see clearly. That we have reconciliation over separation, faith over fear, truth over deception, and a connection with him. And so my prayer is for us, not only in the Allegheny Conference or the Brethren in Christ, but around the world, people. My prayer for us is that in 2020, God will turn on the lights. That what might be cloaked for the moment, what might be hidden, he would be graciously willing to open up and unveil. So while we're praying for God to open up our understanding and to turn on the lights, let's also pray that the Holy Spirit will open up our hearts and minds to receive, open up our eyes to see, and see with clarity, not fuzziness, but to get that focus, especially in 2020. And I pray that we'll walk worthy of our calling, that as God turns on the lights, as we open up our eyes and open ourselves to receive the reality, the truth, as we don't fight against it, that then we'll embrace it and we'll trust him and we'll walk by faith. And as we follow him by faith, then we'll see his kingdom come, his will be done. And we'll enjoy the kinds of spiritual prosperity that Jesus came and promised to us, that the Holy Spirit has been poured out to give us. And so I'm going to count on that. I'm going to pray that, and I invite you to join with me throughout the year praying for these things. Now I'd like to pray for us, even right now. Our Father and our God, you are light. Jesus is light. And you've also declared, and he has declared, that we, your partners, your bride, your children, that we too are the light of the world. As you fill us with your spirit and fill us with light, may your light pass through us and impact those around us and bring revelation, understanding of you and who you are, including your son Jesus, the work of your spirit. I pray, Father, that you'll strengthen us so that as we receive these wonderful, great, precious gifts, things that go beyond our understanding, go beyond our comprehension, as we receive your grace, grant us the wisdom and the revelation and the strength and the courage to be obedient and be good stewards. May we not squander the opportunities. May we not be slack or flip in the handling of what you entrust to us. But I pray that by your guidance, the guidance of your spirit, that we would be good stewards of all that we receive from you and from your hand. Bless the Allegheny Conference, I pray. Bless all of the folks, our brothers and sisters who come together at various steps and stages of life. And bless us collectively as we partner together, that as you work in and through us and among us, you will be exalted. Jesus will be lifted up, known, honored, worshiped, obeyed. And all this we set before you and trust you for and thank you for, even now. In your wonderful name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.